I almost always wear have no shoes on when I'm home, and that's when I'm most relaxed. And so a big part of my like goals in life, I think it's affected my behavior, is that I want to be home so that I can take my shoes off and be comfortable. Like I mean, as long as I've got shoes on, there's an element of me that's confined and uncomfortable. And
I
I think
want to
it has a
be.
lot to do with the fact that I never had shoes that were wide enough for my feet. And now that I do,
Do you
I
get
think I feel pretty
wides?
good. Yeah, there are
You
shoes that
buy
are.
wides.
Yeah,
I know.
you
I mean, I
can,
know there
but
are.
sometimes they're not available or
Yeah.
whatever, and you just didn't.
They're
Or, you
available
know.
for women a lot.
Well,
'Cause usually, I
I've
don't think
got
it's.
womanish
I
feet
don't think
then.
guys are really. I mean, it's generally not considered that concerning for guys if their shoes aren't. But I know what you mean, 'cause if they're uncomfortable.
Be too comfortable when I'm out. I just don't. It's not my style. I need to keep. Otherwise, I'd, you know, I don't know. Otherwise, I'd become a different kind of thing.
So, what's
Topper. We are
there's Topper.
watching
Hot Shots is on
Hot
in the background.
Shots
Hot Shots with an exclamation point. Yeah.
with Topper.
What have you been up to? You've been working a lot.
I've been
Talk
working a
a little
lot.
bit about that while I
Well,
get something else to put
I
on
was just
this.
doing some grip work with a local cinematographer and stuff, and it was good experience, and they were good people, and they were good to work with, and they told me things that made me feel motivated about moving on in life. You know, I need to find somebody else to edit this because, like, I can't like be in it, and I'll edit myself out. I start questioning,
Can't
like, if
do
I'm
that though.
making other
Here's the
people
thing.
sound.
This is your podcast.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to make it about me.
I understand
And
that, but I mean,
the
okay.
only other real relevant
Yeah, that's right. You had an interesting story.
It's not that interesting, but
No, I'm
it's
sure it's
interesting.
going to be
It's,
really stunning.
I got my passport this week.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah,
Yeah.
fantastic. So the passport, that was the, like 2 weeks ago. That was your event. As everyone knows, we've got
Everyone on Earth probably by
the
now.
bed.
It wasn't even a bet. It was just a kind of a command of mine, an ordinance that was put down.
You laid down the gauntlet.
I did. I put down the gauntlet and I said, if you don't do this, then there's something wrong with you because you have the ability to do it. You have the ability to grow hair in the right places on the face, which a lot of guys don't. I can't see you with that facial hair ever barbecuing in real life with a girl. I could see you doing a lot of other things with a girl, like going bowling.
Bowling. I like bowling.
Bowling, there you
I do
go.
enjoy it.
But barbecuing. For some reason, it strikes me that facial hair is not there for
You
barbecuing.
know what the thing is? Stupid. Anyway, I know the taste is good, though. It's a good thing.
I mean, it just sounded like you were going to turn that into some sort of pun, like I wanted to frost her cookies.
I suppose I should have, but
You should have, but I just did. So
I didn't.
go
I
ahead.
didn't.
She it was all set up for her to frost your
You didn't
cookies.
know that anyway. What was this going in?
I
Oh, I have something to do.
Oh, it's
I have a
fantastic,
little
though.
goofy today. I'm gonna have to have somebody else edit this for me.
No. I'm gonna lay down another mandate here that you're to follow. You're to follow. Anything that we say about any of us, you keep in, unless it's boring. But you're not subjective whether or not you are subjective whether or not it's boring because if it's about you, you're a little bit embarrassed. But I'm telling you, it's a great entertainment. And we're looking at Christy Swanson back when she was skinny.
She got fat?
She's a little bit, yeah. Suck that chest in. Walleye,
Oh,
was
I like
walleye.
that one thing in that room
That
that
is,
yummy.
that all actually sounds sickening now that the way you tell it like that. So I think you're probably well within your rights
I think I am well within my rights
to
I mean,
refuse to make food for other
I
people.
don't refuse to, I just don't know. I can make spaghetti probably, and I can't make steaks. I can't cook a steak to save my life. It's really kind of annoying.
I don't think I can barbecue. I've never done it. I probably could if I tried, but I've never done it. Yeah.
I would say like 8 times out of 10 I was hammered.
Yeah, and it was good?
Four
Or it
times
was
out of
good
10.
because you were hammered?
I think it was just like pictures of
Yeah.
me from college or there's no none of that.
Did you party a lot in college?
No, not really. I did the Halloween party.
How was that?
My
Was
high
that
school
back
I
was
really
that back
enjoyed was the
before?
Four Winds of
Oh, really? Earth, Wind, and
Big
Fire?
Trouble, Big Trouble in
Oh, okay.
China. Or the Three Storms or whatever.
Oh, okay.
And like one of them was Lo Pan.
Let me ask you.
I tried to be Jack Burton.
Was this
like
with the
I'm not
suspenders
good
and the
at
tank top?
I was like a makeshift that even the suspenders don't
I think he wore suspenders for
I
some
didn't have
reason.
the mullet for it, so I just went as Indiana Jones without the hat.
Okay.
So I just had like a white shirt
You
on.
couldn't have found an Indiana Jones fedora?
I didn't have it at the time. Now I have it though.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So next time I get an excuse to go to a Halloween party, I'll definitely
Was that back in the day when women were in the wearing the what you know whatever wearing underwear and then something like cat ears like that. One of the Mean Girls has a lot of funny moments. I don't know if you've seen Mean Girls, but it's actually very cleverly written and it has some good funny stuff in it. And one of the funniest moments. Well, there's first of all, there's like everyone's taking. I read since I worked on a few school publications at AHSU, I occasionally look at other schools' online newspaper and magazine articles, mm-hmm. and it's interesting to read like how similar they all are. For instance. Halloween comes out, and every year now, for the last few years, every single school puts out one of their writers, generally a woman, writes a story about how about the new trend of women just wearing lingerie for Halloween, or dressing as slutty and wearing as little as possible. But sexy witches? Well, here's the thing. So, like in Mean Girls, there's these girls called the Plastics, and the head one is Rachel McAdams, and there's Lacey Chabert. Then the third one, and the third one is Lacey Chabert comes to her house, and she knocks on the door, and the third one comes to the door, and she's just wearing like lingerie, like a teddy and like you know thigh high stockings with like a garter and all this stuff, and the girl goes, Lacey Chabert goes, "What are you?" And she goes. She makes this really exasperated look with her eyes and then points at this, like, she just put a mouse thing on her head. She goes, "I'm a mouse, duh." But like, it was just really funny because she's so stupid, but she's not wearing anything else to signify that she's a mouse, except for these, like, little Halloween ears and that she probably...
She's wearing something to signify she's completely something else.
Yeah, yeah, except for the mouse ears. I thought that was just pretty clever, that, you know.
Yeah.
And she was too stupid to get that was dumb, you know. I thought that was pretty funny. But, I mean, the point is that it really is like that now. Actually,
have you been to a Halloween party recently?
I have been to a couple. The most recent one was a couple years ago. So, I mean, but back then it had already started. And I see people around, and I know that that's what they wear these days. And mainly because I work in retail, and in retail we sell people things. And during Halloween, people come in, and I worked on Halloween.
Things.
Yes. And during Halloween, some people came in dressed... excruciatingly provocatively, and I say excruciating because no, they wouldn't let that. But the customers come in, and it's embarrassing for the fact that there are people walking around with their kids, and there are elderly people inside the store and stuff.
The whole thing about Halloween now has kind of become this excuse.
Well, and that's the thing, and that's what all the newspaper stories are about, and everything like that. And it's like whether or not that's a liberating thing, or whether or not it's an excuse to just be as slutty as possible for one day of the year, and not have people call you a slut. Okay, so here's what I'll do. I'll rehash the plot. You jump in when you got it, and then after that we'll go to the important things. No, it's important. It's important. Listen, this is the Master series. We have to discuss the whole. Okay, all right. So, Uzi guy and a bunch of other similarly Uzi guy looking guys with balding mullets. Dirtbag mustaches and Uzis are driving around in a big Ford truck, and they have dynamite and Uzis. They've got like a acetylene torch, like taped to the back of the. Whatever, dude. Don't even. Okay. So they're lighting dynamite and throwing a huge, like, you know. Do people even? I mean, this was like a Western. Like, who uses dynamite to throw at people? Don't you?
Only Western dynamite.
It was Western. It was like dynamite all like taped together, and then with like the one stick in the middle. Yeah. So they're throwing this. It's later. At one point, he goes around the corner. They're shooting at him. One guy throws some dynamite, and he shoots it a couple times in the air. It doesn't blow up.
No.
But it suddenly comes through the screen, IRL, mm-hmm. and lands, rolls up the aisle next to Danny.
IRL, in real life.
In the movie, yeah. Danny is he's beside himself with fear. Am I right in saying this? He looks stunned.
He looks stunned, and then spills his popcorn onto it. And then he realizes, he stops for a minute, and he thinks, maybe that put it out, but there's no way.
Yeah.
There's grease in the popcorn.
Yeah.
The grease is probably going to actually...
He sits there with a calculator and a notepad, and he's writing down a formula, figuring out whether or not the popcorn he just dumped on the...
Yeah.
He makes it about 10 feet. There's an explosion that just whites out the screen. And he wakes up. He doesn't wake up. He comes back from the whiteout in Jack Slater's car, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Jack Slater turns around.
He brushes a couple of used condoms off his
face. You know, every time I think of used condoms in movies now, I just think of...
Fight Club?
No.
A dead jellyfish floating in a toilet.
The one in... the original Deuce Bigelow, that when he's first cleaning the bed of the guy.
Those.
Okay, so the first one actually has a couple of decent jokes, not really.
Thing, yeah.
But this, Oded Fehr, the guy from the Mummy movies, who's like the good Egyptian guy.
Yeah, I know, he plays the thing, the bad guy.
Yeah, so he's the man whore guy who Deuce Bigelow has to take over for because he killed his fish or something like that, and he has to buy him a new fish or something. So anyway... as he's cleaning up this guy's bed, he finds a used condom in the bed, and it's like
a windsock.
No, it's totally full of for lack of a better word, semen.
Goop.
But man, completely full of it. Like this guy. Anyway, there's a copious amounts of semen.
He's been reusing it. He's been reusing.
Wouldn't it have dried by then? Maybe he reused it and then like. Added drops of water and mix it around to keep it liquid.
Possibly. It's like adding olive oil to salad. He's just thinning it out. Adding water to Robitussin. You see the Chris Rock bit?
Yes.
Robitussin?
Yes. Yeah.
You add water, shake it up, more Robitussin? Fantastic.
Okay. Okay, so Danny follows Slater around and claims that they are in a movie. And Slater's like, what are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking
Danny
about.
Danny serves as like this sort of comedic foil to Slater.
Even though he's not funny.
Pointing out all of the over-the-top satirical movie-like aspects of their world. Like, that there are no unattractive women. Which, I mean, I don't know about where you grow up, but I'm living up here in Humboldt County, California. There are some hot women here. Uh-huh. I'm telling you, I don't know. I'm not going to say it was always that way, but by and large... Like, and I'm not really even being all that sarcastic right now. maybe it's because there's a university. I don't know. There's a pretty.
Maybe
good
it's because you have an affinity for unibrows and facial hair. That could be it.
I don't know.
You like love handles. You like unshaven legs. You're into Birkenstocks. And you really like the smell of weed.
I really like the smell of weed.
So. They
points out things like that, an animated cat.
Yeah, the animated cat, Danny DeVito. There's all those little things we'll touch on lately. Basically, what happens is this. Charles Dance plays Benedict. Charles Dance being the doctor who bangs Ripley in Alien 3 when they both have the Auschwitz hairdos.
Yeah, the disgusting...
Yeah, movie. And if for some reason we stay on them as they... put their clothes back on after doing the deed, and it's just totally grossing out. Like, you don't know which one is which as you're watching it. Which one is the guy, which one is the girl,
no.
You can't really tell.
It doesn't even really matter.
No. So anyway, this guy is the real bad guy in it. The Vivaldi character is Anthony Quinn. He's the stereotype. And they really, we talked about this, the Italian-American Anti-Defamation League was really concerned about. They were concerned about The Sopranos, which was a more realistic, more than this, realistic viewpoint of the mafioso in New Jersey and so forth. And in this movie, it's every single one of the people at this funeral that happens later on in the film has some sort of weapon. They're all crying.
There's multiple shots of like old ladies pulling like guns out of their purses.
Yeah,
like
women
as if we don't get the joke
and guys,
the first time.
Yeah, tons and tons of them, and. The Charles Dance character repeatedly refers to his boss Vivaldi as cannoli sucking,
Sicilian
schmuck,
yeah.
And all the stereotypical things, and they're portrayed
probably because he used probably because
he would have used radians rather than degrees to measure things, so he's a little unfamiliar with the fact that 360 degrees is a circle.
It's okay that Benedict is saying this because he's British.
Yeah.
And it's not like an American is saying that the Italians are like this.
Really?
It's a snotty Brit who's doing it. And as we all know, they're a bunch of bricks.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 this happens. The Ripper comes back. It's kind of complicated. The whole plot kind of is... They're in Slayer's world for a while.
Benedict ends up getting the
ticket and going into the real world, IRL. And this is where the danger happens, because he realizes that in this world, as he says, the bad guys can win, because...
This is where the movie works for me, is that it's commentary about sort of, like, escapism and the harshness of reality is pretty well-grounded in a few places in it.
It's actually, I mean, this is the thing, is that it's actually a rather intelligent movie. It's basically telling you that, I mean, it's kind of a backhanded way of
the, like, only problem, I think, and we have that.
It's like an anti-Tipper Gore thing.
Yeah. The only problem we have with it is that it's, with the kid pointing out all the satire, it's sort of ridiculous.
It is.
And the kid's kind of ridiculous and obnoxious.
Well, that's for the kids.
And...
That's for the kids.
The whimsy of it is just kind of like, what's the point? The
whimsy. I mean, there's magic.
Need some way to connect the fake world with the real world.
Yeah, and it's whimsy that they do it with. Spielbergian
whimsy. It would have to be magic. It would have to be something garbage like that. But they play it up a little bit. They ham it up pretty heavily at the end. And
Here's the thing. This was a bad movie to start with because of two reasons for the Masters series. Firstly...
It's a good movie for the Master Series.
But I don't think it was great to start with, and because of the whole Spielbergian whimsy aspect to it.
Yeah, if like Spielberg had directed this, a lot more people would probably like it, or maybe it would be his.
It would
hook.
Be different.
I mean,
secondly, it's a satire or a parody of the type of movie that we're actually going to be talking about for the most part.
Yeah,
which is like, I mean,
like Death Ring.
Roadhouse is the ultimate one. It takes itself, and that's the thing about these movies, is it has to take itself seriously.
Absolutely.
And this doesn't. This is actually like, Shane Black is a very smart guy. McTiernan knows his way around action films like no other.
Yeah.
So it's these guys combining, and Schwarzenegger and everyone else involved, it's these guys combining to make a parody, but the problem with this is this. It's not taking itself that seriously, but... here's the thing. The kid, in one scene... And we'll get back to this. He writes a bad word on a piece of paper. We don't know what it is. He shows it to Schwarzenegger to try to get him to say it. And he says, I'm not going to say that. And he said, the kid says exactly, because this is a kid's movie. So here's the problem.
PG-13.
So this kid has been watching this series of films starring Schwarzenegger, action films, right? Supposedly full of people are getting killed left and right. But it's a kid's movie? Did you get that out of that?
I mean, didn't say it was a kid's movie.
He did. He said it
was... No, he just says it's rated PG-13.
But no, he says it's... He says
because this one is rated PG-13.
Okay, all right.
As if, like,
maybe I didn't get that.
No, I think what you inferred from that was that they were trying to... what's happening now in actual IRL is that they're... we're starting to use that unironically. Which is...
I've always used that ironically.
Okay. But...
In 93, though, there weren't action movies... that were PG-13. There weren't.
I know, but now there are, and now they're gearing them towards that. And that was sort of a... So it was ahead of its time. It was like saying, this one's
annoying,
rated PG-13, because probably... I bet the one with the axe murderer was probably rated R. And then they maybe decided...
I don't know.
I don't know about that.
Here's your thing. So, no little kid, though, would love a PG-13 action movie with bad Schwarzenegger puns and no blood, because, let's face it, kids saw Schwarzenegger films because they wanted to see nudity, graphic violence, and hear bad language, and they knew a Schwarzenegger movie was going to deliver that.
I just wanted the action. I wanted, like, him shooting bad guys.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is, if you were in his situation,
not that much
take away Last Action Hero.
Schwarzenegger films,
but there's some, though, and you're always going to get that out of it. Take away Last Action Hero, and think about the Schwarzenegger movies you saw as a kid. You saw...
Commando.
You saw Predator. You saw Terminator. All that stuff.
Running Man.
What's in all of those? Why does a kid want to go
Total
see a rated R movie? It's the thing in The Simpsons. Hey, we're all going to go see a rated R movie. What is it? Barton Fink. They don't even know what it is, and they all go driving off screaming, Barton Fink, because they want to see a rated R movie. That's the point. That's what kids want to see, and that's why people now look fondly back on 80s action films, is because it's something that was taboo to them then, was awesome, because the blood and violence and gore and guts and screaming and fatalities and swearing and nudity, like all that stuff that was taboo to them, they're then sneaking and going and seeing, or their parents are letting them, you know, in some cases.
Mine.
My parents there took me to see Total Recall in the theater.
Oh, my gosh. Did your dad set you aside and explain to you that no women have three tits in real life?
Nope.
And if they do, then they're, there's something wrong with them.
Then you should pay them extra.
Yeah, pay them extra. So my problem with that line is that, so let's talk about this. After this whole thing happens, where these guys invade Slater's ex-wife's house, they were all hanging out there.
They select a new pope.
Yeah, they select the new pope with the smoke, different colored smoke coming out of the smokestack, because the kid was smart enough to know that if they burn the... that was stupid, though, because they didn't set that up as a signal, but yet he sees it and knows, I told the kid it was going to burn a different color.
It was really stupid.
Counterfeit money, whatever. So they get to this point where they're sitting around and Slater's kind of staring off in the distance, going over everything that he's thought about in the last few minutes, which is there's this whole thing with Benedict going on, but he's mostly concerned about... he's been brought back to his realization that his son is dead, and he's now starting, this kid's starting to wear him down about the movie thing, that his life is not what he thought it was, and he's getting worn down by all this stuff. So the kid comes up to him and goes, hey, look at this, and he writes a word.
Yeah.
We don't see what it is. He shows Schwarzenegger a word. At that point in the film, you said, what do you think the word was?
Yeah.
And I just said, it's got to be the F word. And you said, no, it doesn't. And now you are going to go through a comprehensive list of words that it might have been.
Because I'm the bad one.
Well, I'm the one. I mean, I'm ostensibly religious, and I'm Christian. And even though I do use language at times that I shouldn't, I'm trying to keep my morals intact, my own personal sense of morals. So I'm
going
to let you
say all the hell. So I'm good.
I'm going to let you say all the foul words that I listen to every day and take great pleasure in, but don't say.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, they lose their meaning, say.
They do if you use them too much.
I know. Or the curse words.
Is this constant annoying chomping of the gum, like Valley Girl style, going to be showing up on here?
It might be. It just makes me seem that much cooler, though. I just am all laid back
and
chilling out.
You do seem incredibly cool right now.
I know. I'm pretty damn cool.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Okay. Most people would think, okay, what's the one word you can't say if it's rated R or rated PG-13? But actually, truth be told, I think you can say fuck twice if it's rated PG-13.
It depends on what other type of content you're saying.
Yeah. I remember that movie Hero with Dustin Hoffman and Andy Garcia. She said that. And it was rated PG-13.
Tootsie, PG, has the F word twice in it, and that was post PG-13.
Really? With post? Yeah. Are you sure
it was
post?
PG-13 movie, the first one was 82 or 83.
Really? Okay.
Tootsie was 85 or 87 or something like that.
Okay, fine. I don't care about that argument.
Yes, you do.
Well, I mean, I do, but it seems to me like I remember Spielberg making the argument for Temple of Doom, and that must have been like 84 or something. Whatever, it's not important. But I'm like, he could have written cunt, he could have written motherfucker, he could have written buttfucker, he could have written...
It looks like he only writes a few letters, though. So if he had written like...
Well, no.
Cocksucker.
But it's a...
He goes like this.
He's in the midst of writing...
No, he
when
starts.
They cut away.
Yeah, you're right. You're
so
right.
He could be. Okay. He could have written something.
He might have
less
continued,
longer.
But he's writing in big letters. It looks like.
He's got
a Sharpie too.
Yeah, he could have written.
He keeps a blue Sharpie in his pocket. Apparently.
Bloody cunt fucker. He could have written.
What else might he have written?
He could have written like frozen dump used to rape somebody.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of options there. Man. We can move on. So then the big funeral scene happens with this one guy's trying to whack the competition family all at once. So Schwarzenegger jumps in there to try and save him. But F. Murray Abraham, playing his typical... He's essentially playing the typecast role that he plays, which is this sort of bad guy, creep guy, named John Practice.
Right.
That's how you get to Carnegie Hall. Practice. John Practice.
Right. In a body bag.
I've now decided to name every character in movies something that can be a phrase for when they show up. And I had one about whittling. It was like, what do you do with a piece of wood when you're bored and you don't want to make anything constructive with it and you got a knife? Bobby Whittle. There you are.
I knew it was you,
you
old so and so, Bobby Whittle.
So there's that. Anyway, so Schwarzenegger ends up saving the day, and it involves a crane and a helicopter and machine guns, and it's a big action thing, and he falls in La Brea, and he's covered in oil. And then they attack, they go after Benedict because they know Benedict was probably the one that caused this. But Benedict's already gotten the kid's ticket and realized that he can do magic stuff with it.
Right.
And at that point, boom, now they're back in, they're in the quote-unquote real world. It's dingy, it's New York, it's shot a lot. It looks a lot more like Die Hard.
It does. It totally does look a lot more like Die Hard, yeah.
It's just grittier. Like, literally.
If we could talk about that really quickly. Well, it seems like what they did, and it's not just McTiernan because he did direct Die Hard as well, but the Lethal Weapon films look like this. A lot of stuff that Shane Black wrote seems to look similar in this, which is it's got a lot of shallow focus because they're constantly doing the thing where you switch focus from something a few feet behind
rack
to something
focus, that's rack what focus, that's
and then you've got a lot of lens flare, and the lighting is like is usually kind of grimy. It's usually kind of grimy and like darker, but then there's like really bright flares
like
and stuff.
Like a bright like a fill light
and
sort
so,
of in the corner.
Like
just kind
they got that dead on. And no, they did not.
The
thing is, like, this movie was calculated to look and feel exactly like it. And honestly, I mean, you told me as we were starting, you said, oh, it's a comedy, and I was thinking, I don't think it was really marketed as just a comedy, but it was supposed to be the action thing
as
well.
It was supposed to be sort of difficult. It was like, people were like,
totally.
Not quite, I don't know if Arnold had done
but
much
the thing
the
is,
a comedy.
If you think about all the Shane Black films, there is just as much comedy in all of them as there is action, even though they're all...
The Weapon 2 is hilarious.
I mean, think about Last Boy Scout. It's nonstop noirish puns and jokes and like, there's some pretty funny moments.
My favorite funny moment is when Taylor Negron falls through the helicopter.
Yeah, and he dances the jig.
And gets chopped up, yeah.
Yeah, and then Bruce Willis, who promised Taylor Negron that he was going to dance a jig if he ever killed him, he said, once this case is solved, I'm going to dance a jig, I swear. And so then it cuts to him on the Jumbotron, and he's very tired and beaten down and bloody, and he slowly starts dancing a really awkward jig. And I just, the first time I saw that, I cracked up.
Fantastic.
I thought that was really good.
CD gets like killed by ballista thrown a fire.
Oh, stupid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, gosh, Shane Black stuff is really like, that's top notch. That's top notch. So go ahead, you were saying it was gritty back in New York. They're back there.
The bad guy realizes that it's the typical story you've heard before. In the middle of a city filled with people, somebody can just whack somebody and nobody cares. They're too afraid. They don't react, the cops don't get called, and this guy realizes, you know, hey, in this world, and he says in this world the bad guys can win, and he realizes he can go into other movies, and he can draw, and he doesn't do this as much as I was, you know, it doesn't become like a Monster Squad thing where he goes and grabs a whole cadre of villains. He just goes and gets a Reaper, which is this guy with an axe, and then it replays the whole sequence where now in the real world...
And you notice that he didn't select the Reaper from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. He selected the Reaper from The Seventh Seal.
He didn't select that. That was an accident.
That was an accident, yeah. So the Ripper is who you're talking about. You said Reaper, and
I thought you were talking about that. I screwed up.
Well, I apologize, because I misconstrued what you said.
No, you got me on screwing up what I said. And so basically throughout this time, Slater's realized that, oh, it hurts if I punch through a window. I can't be as flagrant with life as I was before. And he very quickly turns around and becomes like a three-dimensional person.
He totally does, very quickly.
Can talk with people about things and understands.
He
like
sits
how
down and after a
mother.
Hard night, he talks with Danny's mother, played by Oscar winner Mercedes Ruehl, about various things. And he's very excited by Mozart, which is the guy that practiced Guild.
Appreciate the finer arts.
Yeah, the guy that practiced Guild. You're right, and then
didn't kill him. If you think about the movie, Mozart killed himself.
No, the movie, it's implied that he was poisoned.
Is it? I thought it was implied that he just like partied too hard and got.
No, the movie implies that Salieri or whatever.
But Salieri helps him write the Requiem at the end.
Yeah, that was the point.
Like, no, oboes. Oh, of course.
Yeah,
oboes.
Yeah, well, he helps him at the end because he was. That's a brilliant movie, really.
No,
is.
This guy has
such obsession with this genius given to this person by God, and how he was wasting it, and
it's
so
the
he
whole
had
idea
to be killed.
Of,
yeah.
And that's true in life. You know, the bad guys win, and the people that are the best at things usually are.
And F. Murray Abraham was brilliant in it, and so was what's his name from Animal House.
Yeah, the Animal House guy was pretty good too.
Okay, so go ahead.
So Slater turned around. Now he's in a situation where he has to, in the real world, try to save this kid that's similar to his fake son, It was his real son, essentially, in that
he's
world.
Not similar to him, because his fake son looked like he was very...
well, it's not the same, but it's the same situation.
But it's, he's now the surrogate father to this kid.
Yeah.
So he has a chance to redeem himself, he mm-hmm. feels, yeah.
And
basic plot stuff.
So that whole thing turns back around, he gets shot, and then he just kind of shoots the bad guy. It really is kind of like a lame...
Well, but it doesn't just happen like that, though. What happens is, first of all, there's the Ripper.
Yeah.
And it does the thing where you kill the one guy, and then there's the other guy afterwards.
Yeah.
And it does the same thing I was talking about with Under Siege 2, which is they kill the guy who'd seem like it'd be harder to kill first.
Because
even though this guy's a great shot, and he's really evil, he's still like a poncy Englishman, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A poncy faggoty Brit.
He's a little puffter, yeah.
Yeah. A little poofda! And so they off the Ripper. He electrocutes him to death, even though he would have been electrocuted as well, because there's water everywhere.
And it's not...
And
water does
not
conduct electricity if it's pure water. It's the impurities within the water that actually do it.
Okay, you would know. You're pre-med.
Mm-hmm.
So would him jumping on the water-soaked concrete above the other water,
no,
would that have
no,
saved
no.
him?
Okay. They all would have been crispy critters.
Right.
Just like Spider Monkey in Crow 2.
Yeah, Spider Monkey. I didn't watch Crow 2. So
well,
I'm just gonna pretend
like
it.
He's like,
yeah.
Spider Monkey's a fucking crispy critter.
Okay. The gum totally adds to the dirtbag thing. It's awesome. And you're leaning back in your chair, and your arm's up over the thing, and you're like, you're pretty much spread eagle with your legs.
I just don't give a shit.
It's awesome. This is perfect. If there was a chick in this room right now, she would be sucking you off right now. Gosh.
We'll have to test that theory one of these days. I'll have to remember you chew gum.
You are right now. You're Ethan Hawke in, what's that movie?
Reality Bites.
Yeah, dude. Gattaca, that's the one. No, yeah.
Dude, it always surprised me when Gore Vidal walks up to him and says,
I know, huh?
No keystrokes at all. You've never missed a keystroke. And I'm like, okay, how the hell? That's the only unbelievable part in it.
That he was so good at his job while he was...
Well, not being a genetic superior, but even that he would never miss a keystroke in doing his job. I mean, come on, that's insane. That's impossible.
Well, because he wasn't meant to. Yeah, that's impossible. But it's also it's meant
it's
to imply
like
that just because
it
he
screws it up, though, it screws up the movie.
Well, the only imperfection in him was the heart thing, which was only like a percentage possibility of even happening.
The whole point of the movie was that your genes don't inherit completely define you as a person and all that. I like that movie a lot.
It's a great movie. I liked it. And Andrew Nichols made some good stuff, and then he. He wrote a very interesting movie as well, which is Truman Show. And then he did
Simone.
Simone, which I didn't watch. I didn't watch.
I saw bits of it. It sounded like an interesting premise, but it didn't look like it was a very good execution.
So anyway, they kill off Ripper. Then when Charles Dance character, they do the thing where he's shooting his gun while he's talking and explaining the plot dump thing where he's kind of going into the fact
he's monologuing.
Yeah, he's monologuing. And then... there's a click. He's out of bullets. And Schwarzenegger, even though he's totally become done the 180 and become a big smart guy who's wise to everything, he stands up and goes, "Aha, you are out of bullets," basically. And
he forgot you need to change bullets in the real world.
Yeah, and then he says, and then the guy explains before he shoots, "Oh, I just didn't put a bullet in one of the chambers so it would sound like there wasn't a bullet. Then you'd stand up and then I can do this." And he shoots him. And he shoots him so hard that dust, even though it's raining, flies out of his shirt, and his jacket gets blown off. You notice that? His jacket got blown off before he was then pushed like 4 feet backwards.
That's right.
All because of the elongated barrel, I'm sure.
Possible.
So anyway, Schwarzenegger has been shot directly in...
he was shot in his left lung, it looked like to me.
In the right lung.
A little low. Or his right lung, yeah.
But it wasn't... But, I mean, it was pretty much in the middle. Like,
no.
They showed the wound at a couple different places. When he's laying on the ground in his T-shirt, it looked like it was higher.
He didn't hit him in the heart.
No, it didn't hit him in the heart, definitely. It looked like it could have been some ventricle-type areas, though. Like how the tubes go into the heart.
The brachials? Right there,
the brachials. That's the one. You were pre-med, you know.
I was pre-med.
But then later, when he's at the end of the movie, when he's back in the police station, the guy's looking at him. Then the wound is down here.
Yeah, it shifts
and
becoming
down,
a flesh
and that doesn't even look like it. Looked like it was almost like right above the stomach, like not even the lung.
Yeah,
the lung
that's a
goes
rough
out
spot.
A little bit right there.
To be honest, there's like maybe three places you could be shot that would be honest to golly, like you'd get away with it.
Yeah.
One is, and they do use this all the time in movies. I think they use this in well, on the very sides of your body, if it weren't quite where the kidneys were, like your love handle sort of thing.
Sure.
You could get shot there, maybe.
Yeah.
You can get shot in the shoulders. I think both the... Okay. In the Cowboy Bebop movie where Spike gets shot the first time is the shoulder, and that's where you can get shot. The guy puts the gun right there and just shoots him, and it's just meat there. If it's below the subclavian artery, it's just a little bit of muscle, a little bit of stuff, and you're pretty much good. It's literally like a gap there if you look at the way the skeletal system and the muscle system is. No organs or anything. And then he gets shot again on the side, and it's just like the side. It misses a kidney, and it's just maybe a little bit of an it's just an oblique muscle or whatever. Those are a couple essential flesh wounds. And so that's what they say Arnold has. He has one of those oblique flesh wound type things at the end.
Except for he has it, like, right in the middle of his chest. And here's the thing that I think of every time I see this. And this is what I think they were making fun of. Because, well, in Lethal Weapon 2 is more something they were making fun of. Because
insane.
He gets shot to shit at the end of that thing.
He gets machine gunned.
And he really does. And, like, all, his whole torso is just blasted clean through.
Dead.
And he's laying there, and then they laugh. And Shane Black had written it originally that he dies there. That was the end of the thing. He had a dark ending to it.
Oh, wow.
The studio screwed up. He said that was the point where he became disillusioned with the Hollywood writing. After that, he did a few more, and he got paid very well for them, but they chopped everything he did to hell, and got upset.
Another thing I think they're making fun of, though... didn't earn that death in for two. I can see what he means, but it was
like... He wanted to kill off the character because he didn't like the way they made him change, because if you notice, between one and two, there is a subtle, not so subtle change in Mel Gibson's character, which is you take away the death wish thing, and
he
becomes...
That death wish changed at the end of one. It didn't change...
That's what I'm saying.
...between one and two.
It changed at the end of one, but then he's this character that's not as interesting anymore all the way through two.
Yeah, but that's
except
sort
for
of a more interesting...
They have,
falls
they have
on
to,
the writer to create
have,
him.
Yeah, I know, but they have to drag him back into it by... They then have to...
The guy
had also killed his wife in the first one, so it brings up the old crazy fire again. That's where he gets nutty at the end.
That's when you get the... you're going to pay.
Yeah, you are going to pay.
You are going to pay. Not... And then just handful of popcorn. You know, you get like someone who knows.
Yeah.
And so you're smelling like... It smells like rat feces or something all day because it's got the greasy popcorn smell.
So he said that's where he was getting. But here's what I think of when I see the flesh wound. The movie flesh wound, which is right in the heart, which is Magnum P.I. In Magnum P.I., and I know I'm overstating this, but... I used to watch a great deal of it because my mom was pregnant with either my oldest of the younger sisters or the youngest one. I forget which one.
Mm-hmm.
She was watching a great deal of Magnum P.I. She was just up there at home watching it. And she was into Tom Selleck, you know, hot guy, big cool mustache. He got shot at the end of every single episode directly in the heart. That's what I'm going to remember about this show.
Really?
At the end of every single episode,
he
was shot.
In the final episode, isn't he dead? Isn't it some weird ghost story thing
where he's dead?
I think Magnum dies
making this up.
In the final episode.
No, he's alive.
Are you sure?
But at the end of every single episode, he gets shot in the heart. Directly in the heart. Huge explosion. It's not directly in the heart, but it's seriously like... By the end of like the second season, there was... I mean, he couldn't have had any more... surgeries. He couldn't have had any more. I mean, here's the thing. I've had a pneumothorax surgery, and once you have it once, you're pretty much screwed. Like, I can't get lung cancer. I can't get lung cancer because they can't do anything about it because my lung is now adhered to the pleura, to the lining of the chest, because what happens is the only way to keep it up after you've had a couple of the pops is they scrape it with a sponge. It scars up and attaches to the lung. And that's the way they have to keep it up. So you could shoot me right now through the lung. My lung would stay up, but there'd be a hole in me. So, I mean, I know that, you know, he could only get shot so many times in the lungs. So what does that leave in the rest of the chest? I mean, all his ribs have been shattered. Every single bullet has missed his heart each time. You're right. A lot of times it does look like the shoulder thing. And, you know, the shoulder thing gets overused.
Mm-hmm.
I want, like... The one that's the stupidest. And in Batman Forever, it's a graze. But guys get shot in the head in movies and live. So...
Get shot.
Schwarzenegger's been blown to the ground. The kid attacks... How does he attack Benedict?
He just pretends to cry like a bitch, and then Benedict goes to finish off Jack.
Yeah.
he just pushes him, and then
Jack
gets the overhand on him, and then gets
and then
the
grabs the gun, and then shoots him in the eye, which was an explosive eye, which I guess all his eyes are explosive eyes. I don't know.
Apparently.
He used it once earlier, the one that said
he established it
when he said something about have a nice day or something like that. Or,
mm-hmm.
The guy dies in a really fake-looking explosion, which is like a whole bunch of really pixelated things. Going. It was like the Death Star exploding, but it was on top of this building. And
there was no hemispherical explosion ring, though.
And was it was weird because like it was almost anticlimactic because I think the kid was thrown over by the Ripper.
Yeah.
He saves the kid.
Yeah.
And then Benedict comes.
Yeah.
So it's like the villain. Save the kid, villain. Mm-hmm. Like, and it was weird how they bunched
them
all together.
Then the kid
had
to save him.
The kid had to save him because he was shot like really badly.
He was dying.
And they drive through the city in the ambulance. The kid pulls out a gun. The ambulance driver leaves. They leave the back door open, but somehow Jack doesn't go flying out.
Well, I think the gurney's locked in place.
Whatever. So they get back to the theater because the kid has the bright idea that even though the ticket didn't work the last few times, someone tried to use it.
He's going to use the power of love to get
the power. It was all the power of love. So he gets back there. He finds the other part of the stub.
But first,
Ian McKellen,
Death,
comes in and gives him a hint. It's a video game. He gives him a hint.
Yeah.
By the way, kid, you might want to look for the other part of the ticket.
Yeah,
you're in the theater.
Out.
Yeah. And he tells him, you will die a grandfather, because the kid's where you die. And at that point, you said something very funny, which is, at 38?
Yeah.
Because, in reality, he very easily could be a grandfather at the age of 38. And I then remarked that you could be 30 and be a grandfather. You could be 24 and be a grandfather.
I don't even really know.
You could be 24 and be a grandfather.
Or something?
I think it's getting younger now, so probably 11. So you could be 22. Yeah.
Wow.
It gets younger every year, I think.
The hormones in the water.
Yeah. It's all the fluoride.
A precious bodily fluid.
Jack gets back to his magical land of movies.
The kid finally points out that he's like, but I got nothing else to do in my life.
It's
just you, Jack.
And Jack says, you got to go back and you got to take care of your mom.
Kid, you got to quit having a heart on for me and go back and take care of your mom.
And at that point, they do a close-up of the kid's heart on.
Uh-huh.
Huge, raging boner. The kid goes back to his life with the creepy old pedophile.
Or Nick.
Fade out. Credits. Raucous AC/DC music.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Masters series. By the way, I should note that the whole time we've been talking about this, I've been sipping brandy from a snifter.
And I've been...
And sort of Ian's been reclining. He dressed a little nicer than...
That's the only thing I have to clean right now.
That's right, yeah. That's right. So overall, in terms of where this ranks in this Masters series, I'm going to say this is the best one we've done so far. This is
the
best movie we've done so far.
The first one we've done in the Masters series. So
That aside, it's still the best one. And we're not really going to give value judgment.
If you have suggestions for other Masters series films that you'd like us to give a more in-depth, focused feature on, send them to feudalpodcast, I'm sorry, one word. At gmail.com.
And please, it can't be something like...
I know I say feudal, like it's feudal Japan.
Yeah,
but it's actually
feudal.
F-U-T-I-L-E. Futile, but
if it was a feudal podcast, that'd be interesting, too.
That would be
We'd be discussing whether or not you're a landowner.
We're going to do the samurai one at some point.
Yeah, the samurai one, that'll be good.
And the biopic one.
Need to watch
and
some more Kurosawa.
Rocky one.
Whenever I have
British comedy,
when I have 14 hours free, I'll watch two Kurosawa films at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. well, I've seen a few, so
yeah. I was watching a Fistful of Dollars the other day, and I absolutely everything I watched and just kept making me think of how good Yojimbo was. Yojimbo is just fantastic. I really think it's one of my favorite films.
He sits there like this.
Yeah, it's just really. It's just really, and yeah, he does. He strokes his face a lot.
He does. I started doing that when I had a beard. I was watching a lot of Kurosawa movies, and I had a beard about a year and a half ago. And I found myself doing that before I even saw the movie, and then I started doing that a lot.
And you realize that you are just like
Yojimbo.
Yojimbo, yeah. So, last action hero.
Yeah.
Parting words for this in our first installment of the Masters series. You've listened to us wax nostalgic about this this film from the Halcyon glory days of the early 90s.
Yeah, good times for everybody.
I think that...
I mean, there was a recession, but...
One, you know, if I can, I'd like to bring back one thing.
Sure.
In the very beginning of the film, we see Slater at the end of 3, and he's got the stubble.
Yeah.
And it looks awesome on Schwarzenegger with it. But he's got the cigar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sounding a little homoerotic here, but he's got the cigar. He's got the boots, the tight red shirt, and it was the pants pulled up to grandpa height, like right under his rib cage.
Which turns you on
every time. Every time. But Schwarzenegger is always very clean shaven, and the stubble is like it's. I think what they were doing was they were making fun of Cobra, because Cobra walks into the scene in the beginning of Cobra in the exact same way he walks in at the end of that of Slater 3. Which is, there's a bunch of crap going on. He walks in and they're like, "You stay out of the way, Cobra." And then he tells Jack, "You're suspended. I don't want you anywhere near this place."
Exactly.
And he just completely ignores him, and he puts out a cigar.
A dirt bag.
Yeah. And he...
I'm coming to get you.
And
then he drinks the beer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, "No, I'm a brave hunter from the New World." He's like, "You're the disease.
Yeah.
I'm the cure." And then he throws the knife at the guy.
Right.
And the guy jerks around for a second. He says, "Drop it." Doesn't, while he's shooting the gun, essentially. Just so he's covered his ass, you know?
Drop it.
Yeah, he's like, "Drop it."
Yeah.
Into the frozen food section.
Yeah.
"Didn't that guy have rights?" Boom. "What about the rights of this kid here?"
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh,
and then Cobra. Miami Sound Machine kicks up. And
what a right-wing movie.
Drives his car. And tells those like gang guys not to.
That must have been directed by Walter. It was directed by Stallone.
Cuts up frozen pizza with his knife.
He cuts off the tiniest chunk of pizza and stabs it with his knife, and then sits there gnawing on
it. Well, he cleans his gun.
Yeah, like I understand why Stallone was so short now, because he didn't eat enough. He would have had a growth spurt if he ate more.
Should have eaten more.
He cuts off a tiny tip of the edge of the pizza and then eats it with his knife.
Who can eat just
a
one?
A freaky guy. That's
pizza.
Who.
I know.
Where was I going with this? Oh yeah, so in Loaded Weapon 1, they introduce the Emilio Estevez character. The scene
I enjoyed that
with
one.
The boots. It's enjoyable. It is. Yeah. It's if you watch it again, you're gonna find it's not that funny all the way through. Just like we were talking about with the funny comedy thing. Car pulls up, snakeskin boots come out, a cigarette drops to the ground, and the boot smashes it.
Mm-hmm.
A cigar drops to the ground. The other boot comes out and smashes it, and then a pipe. Drops to the ground, and he crushes the pipe to bits, and then walks away. And the whole time, for some reason, I kept associating that with this. And the whole movie, every time I saw his boots, I kept expecting his cigar to drop and him to step on it. He never did.
No, Stallone doesn't drop a cigar. He keeps it in his mouth. He's Hannibal about it.
Yeah, no.
And by that I mean the guy that realized that an army can only fight from its perimeter.
Yes.
So if you surround them, then you have a better chance of gaining tactical advantage.
So this
Across
is all
the
been,
Alps on his elephants.
Let's see if they have any other complaints with this. Oh, I have another problem. So the name of this movie is Last Action Hero.
As if there were a first.
And as if this was supposed to signify
would the
end.
Would the first be Achilles or Odysseus?
I think it was probably Moses. Moses killed a dude, remember? How well do you know your Bible?
Not as well as I should have.
Okay. So Moses killed a dude who was hurting some Israelites. If Shane Black wrote the screenplay, the fight would have lasted like 45 minutes, and he would have ended up slitting the guy's throat atop the pyramids.
It would have been a rake fight, too. Right?
A rake fight. So the last action here. So here's what I'm thinking, is that the name is some test screening devised name the executives thought would draw in the most people, because it has nothing to do with the film. Schwarzenegger is not the last action hero, nor is Jack Slater, because it's implied that he's going to keep going until the grosses fade. It's got to be a boardroom thing, like one of those things where they're like, you know what, let's call this movie...
I don't know, I was thinking the irony there is it's like they're saying...
Last Boy Scout, it works, because that is ironic, and it's not like someone going around doing good deeds, but that's the whole point for the whole thing, is that like there's no one that does that anymore.
Remember that chicken crossed the road?
Yeah. And then the last action hero, though, is something different because it is talking about the movie, and the whole film was about the movie and what the movie has to do with real life and everything like that.
The thing I had trouble with was the fact that the kids... There's no real clear protagonist in this film. if the kid's journey is supposed to be from one of cowardice and escapism to realization about taking control over his own life, then there should have been some kind of school bully that he had to stand up to.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And there was nothing like that.
The kid's transformation, it wasn't as round as it should have been. There wasn't any sort of...
It wasn't complete.
No, it wasn't. And
I mean, if anything, Slater had more transformation.
No, it was. Slater was the one who had transition. But here's the only thing the kid did was, like, I mean, it was the escapism thing all the way through. And then at the very end, he's still clinging on to Slater. He doesn't want to let him go. He wants to stay there with him because he means so much to him. He didn't learn anything.
No.
The kid didn't learn anything.
Well, no, he lets him go, though. And so he has to have to assume he did learn something.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's really contrived the way he does it. He's just like, seriously, go.
Yeah.
Like, no, seriously.
No, I'm kidding. You got to go.
So then he does. And he's sitting there with the pedophile, and he's like, hey, kid, you know, the magic was inside you all along.
Yep.
Right? Which is what any pedophile would tell a kid, I think.
After if he's coming his ass, yeah.
Yeah. I think I coded the magic pretty well there, don't you?
Yep.
It was inside of you all along.
Smell my finger.
And my gosh, dude. This is a side of you that I never even dreamed I would see.
You always wished for it.
Yeah. So,
Last Action Hero. Seven thumbs up.
Seven or eight thumbs up. Thumbs up where is the question. as Decker kept saying, up his Hershey Highway and all the other... he kept using terrible euphemisms for people, things being shoved up his ass by the bureaucracy after everything got shot up in L.A.
Aw, Decker.
Aw, that Decker.
You know what this movie is lacking? Carl Winslow.
It could have used Carl Winslow, you're right, and it also could have used Carl Weathers, I think.
Carl Weathers, for sure.
You would have been looking for a paycheck.
Another movie we should do for the Master Series is...
you know it's a great restaurant? Burger King, for their quality food and their great prices.
Do you know you get free refills with every meal? Oh, that's fantastic. But,
I've already refilled my brandy once, by the way, so I might have to do it again.
Go for a threefer here. I'm chewing all the gum.
Yeah, I think you've chewed all the gum now. You've reloaded like 8 or 9 times already.
I'm going to bring my own gum over next time.
Or you can just start sucking on big honks. That doesn't sound right.
I don't think I'll be doing that anytime soon. What was it? I was going to say something else about Last Action Hero.
Please do.
The Carl Weathers, made for TNT movie, Hollywood Hulk Hogan, Terry Hollywood Hulk Hogan,
mm-hmm. Terry Bollea,
Carl Weathers, Assault on Devil's Island.
Yeah.
With the gymnasts.
Yeah.
Carl Weathers has got the he basically took Jesse the Mind's gun.
Yeah,
he's got Jesse the Mind's gun, and he tells the kids he's found the kids. They're locked in like this old like mission prison or something, a Devil's Island. It's like all heavy steel, like cast iron. He's like, step away, I need to weaken the door. And then he just lays into this door with the Gatling gun. We'll have to bring Seth in on this.
Yeah.
Because I remember Seth thought that was hilarious. He's like, I gotta weaken the door. You're not really weakening the door.
No, you're just blowing
the
door completely to hell.
Yeah.
You know the great thing about Carl Weathers? Is that
he was in Happy Gilmore, one of your favorite movies?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that was what I was just going to say. But the reason why is this. You see Carl Weathers in something.
Carl Weathers is good in the Rocky
movies. He is. He's good in everything he did. I really think, like, he really puts his all into it.
Yeah,
like,
he does.
Really trying to sell you on who he's playing.
He's, like, underappreciated,
so,
for sure.
I've seen Predator. I've seen all that crap. I've seen bits and pieces of the Rocky movies. I've seen a whole bunch of stuff he's been in. So when Happy Gilmore comes out and he's in it, to me, I'm thinking, this is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And when somebody who's always played a certain type of character, which is the hard-ass action guy, then plays some golfer who had his hand bitten off by an alligator, who's like kind of homoerotically telling Happy how to swing and stuff like that, like, it's just like a ballsy move that, like, it worked with him, and it paid off with the Arrested Development thing. It totally paid off with it because he played such a ridiculous caricature of himself, like moneyless, like a penniless Carl Weathers, like trying to, like, every, like that. That's what's funny in comedy is a good comedy has no characters who are trying to help anyone else but themselves.
Precious. Come here, Precious.
Are you recording that?
Of course.
Okay. So here's what I want to talk about so excitedly.
Mm-hmm.
I watched another in the series that we talked about of the special subgenre of self-aware parodic action films.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite parodic. They still
This is getting back to shoot 'em up and
shoot 'em up, crank, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Smoke and Aces the other day.
I haven't seen that yet.
Go into it with exceptionally low expectations.
I have pretty low expectations.
Go into it with terribly low expectations. And I was very entertained.
Is it Tony Scott?
No.
It was
Carnahan.
Yeah.
It was Carnahan. It was Narc guy. It's got terrible problems with it.
Ben Affleck gets killed 5 minutes into it,
yeah,
and then he's just being
that. Yeah, that was actually really funny. There's some really funny moments in it, and there's some great touches. And this guy, I mean, I thought this was a hacky move by him because Narc was great.
Yeah.
But you can see even in this, he's got some great talent for writing, and mm-hmm. the direction actually is really good too. There's problems with characters. There's since there's so many characters involved, there's no protagonist. No, I don't know. I mean. The people who were...
She walking around with a big floppy hat shooting people?
No. She's more vamped up. And then
vamped
Common,
up? That sounds kind of hot. Is that hot?
It was all right.
Vamped up.
Yeah.
Oh, I found another piece of gum. Kind of this double bubble. I'm
going
to have to
buy
a bag
bubble.
Of this.
It's
bring
all
it over here because... Because
you ate all of it?
Eating all your double bubble.
Don't worry about it.
I'm pretty worried.
You weren't
about
actually
it.
Eating, you were just chewing. Because if you ate it, that would be implied that you swallowed it.
Yeah, and then it would
digested
be a
it.
Bad
Yeah,
bad
it would be
time
all stuck
me.
In the lining of your intestines.
Yeah.
And rectal cancer. And okay. So I'm not going to give too much away because you should watch it. It's not like I'm going to give anything away. It's, first of all, there's no protagonist in it because there's 50 characters that it follows. But there's just really weird, funny moments in it. It's got terrible problems in that characters that are introduced and then stick around throughout the portion of the film just to exist to, randomly kill some other character at the very end of it.
Hmm.
Problems like that. There's no reason, rhyme or reason to it at all. And it's definitely the thing where, no one's motivations. It's one of those, twisty things.
Well, aren't
things
they all assassins trying to kill Pivsters?
Yeah, for the most part. And Pivsters... Yeah, in the kingdom. Yeah. So I just wanted to bring up that, any time you watch one of those movies, by the way, they're making Crank 2. Did you hear about this? Yes, and Jason Statham is in it. No, he's the star of it. And here's what they are explaining. They said that, so when he hit the ground, you assume that he's dead in the end of the first one, right? Okay, so what they're implying, they haven't said too much about it, but what they're implying in it is that the reason why he was even able to live so long through the first one, which they continually questioned how he was doing this, was that his heart apparently was so strong that even that fall didn't kill him. And so the second one involves...
What about other parts of his body?
Yeah, exactly. Because he bounced off a car, and then after falling 40,000 feet or whatever it was, I don't know. But...
wasn't as far as Billy Drago fell. Delta Force 2, the Colombian Connection, that helicopter got 30,000.
I know.
Feet.
Yeah. No, but in Crank, it got ridiculously high.
Yeah,
he was able to call his girlfriend on his cell phone. So I guess the plot in the second one is something about how
is Dwight Yoakam in it?
No. Oh, he
Raul?
Might be. He might be. Yeah, Raul is in it. They imply that the government and some of the group, the mafia or something, is after his heart because apparently it is
super strong.
Yeah,
and they want to put it in a robot body.
They want to do something like that. Something ridiculous. They want to put it in an Adrian
Barbeau.
Raul
reminds me. So a couple weeks ago, Zach's he calls me up. He's all excited. He's like, Ian, check it out. I got a couple people that they're ready to be guests on the podcast. Why don't you come over early? We'll get this thing all set up. We'll get good. So I walk in.
Is this one of my stories where it's all fake?
Your stories aren't fake. No. So I walk in, and Zach's doing a line. And he goes, he looks up, wipes a little bit off. Now, I'm kidding. He's not doing a line. That part's a joke. Everyone gets that. Zach's a good guy. I walk in, and a couple of them, his sister-in-law, Rachel, and his wife, and some friend of theirs, are just sitting there watching the AMAs. Not the AMAs. That's the American Music Awards that Jimmy Kimmel hosted just recently. The CMAs. The Country Music Awards. So I come in, I'm setting up my computer,
I don't really know what I'm going to do. I'm just kind of figuring, okay, I'll see how this plays out. So, you're a big country fan because you're, you know, hanging out.
I love country.
Got to get me here.
I love it.
You got to get me here at the same time as you're watching the CMAs. I just got to ask you one thing. Brooks or Dunn?
Whichever one was not molested as a child, so I'm assuming Dunn. You know, Brooks and Dunn, one of them has a really ridiculous first name. I'm going to look this up really quick. One of them has a really stupid first name, like Zanzibar Brooks or something like that. Hang on. Kix Brooks. Born Leon Eric Brooks, but Kix, K-I-X, because he liked the cereal? I don't know. This, you know, he's one day as a kid. They're like, you know what? You love that cereal so much. But even though Kix cereal has nothing to do with country music, I predict one day you're going to grow up to be a huge country star. And then he molested him. His dad said that to him.
Nick.
Nick. He was a projectionist. He wore a suit that was too small for him. And a monkey hat. A monkey fez.
With the eyeballs still left there. It was just the skull, really.
Kix Brooks and Ronnie Dunn. Kix Brooks is the one with the big gay mustache. Ronnie Dunn is usually has a beard. And Brooks wears the hat, and Dunn has long, flowing, golden
mane. So you're going with Brooks, then?
I'm going to go with Brooks. I'm going to say that Brooks is the one I prefer in the long run, just because his name is Kix. If you buy something for his birthday, you tell the cashier you're buying it for Kix. If you buy him porn, and they say, they don't make a question, you just look at them knowingly and say, I'm buying it. Lube, here's what you buy Kix for his birthday. You buy like 18 bottles of KY jelly. You bring it up to the counter, and they just look at you kind of questioningly, and you say, this is just for Kix.